This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, December 5th in Gillette Stadium here, the New England Patriots preparing to travel out west for meeting with the Seattle Seahawks, and they have some new faces making the trip. The long trip out west with them, as it's linebacker week here at Gillette Stadium. Adalis Thomas placed on injured reserve today. Earlier in the week, they placed somebody else on injured reserve. Paul Perillo, help
Jason
me out.
Webster.
Jason Webster, who reached an injury settlement and was then sent out of town with a little dough. But more importantly, Roosevelt Colvin and Junior Seau are back. Seau in his normal number 55 jersey actually signed a deal today. And earlier in the week, Roosevelt Colvin had a long chat with the media wearing his new number.
I think it might be still going.
It could be. It could be one of those Doug Flutie things. But number 95, Roosevelt Colvin.
See what he did there?
I do.
59.
I transposed
95.
It. I see what they did. Plus, 59 was taken up by Gary Guyton.
No, he wasn't paying for it.
But no question. But as Bill Belichick said, things just got too thin at linebacker. The injuries piling up, not only the ones we already had dealing with. Teddy Bruschi's been on the injury report for a little while now with a knee issue. Pierre Woods reportedly has a broken jaw, although he is still on the roster. There was no move made there. And one minor note, they added Angelo Craig to the practice squad. So they're just
another linebacker
piling up on linebackers
here.
For
those here of you who are not fully versant in the
he's from Cincinnati, whether it be the college or the pro team where he was drafted this year in the seventh round. But more importantly, Paul, two old faces. They know the system.
What once was old
is new again. And sounds like both or either could have a chance of playing this Sunday in Seattle. What do we expect for their impact on the defense?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I expect both to play. I don't know how much. And the second question that you asked, I think is impossible to answer. But I do think there's an element of the freshness that these two guys might be able to have initially. They both know the system reasonably well. Now, the Patriots are such a game plan team, and Rosie talked about this during the week. It's hard to just say they know what they're doing because there's no way they have of knowing what exactly Bill had in store for the Seahawks specifically. So we'll see how much they play. But I think there's an element that these guys have not been banged around for 12 weeks the way everybody else in the NFL has, and they might be initially a little bit fresher. I think the true test for those guys would come, you know, game two, game three. I would imagine some pulled muscles, some sore hamstrings and whatnot are in their future. But on Sunday, I'm expecting to have both of those guys out there. And I think Colvin in particular, you throw him out there on third down, Andy, and send him after the passer. I don't think there's a lot of scheming involved in that.
I would agree with that. The one thing I'd say with Colvin is he really lowered the expectations
he certainly
for his own
did.
Physical condition. Talking about basically he was in shape by running up and down the stairs with his kids. And, quote, my backyard was available. He didn't even say he ran in it. He just said his backyard was available had he chosen to run. So he kind of lowered expectations, even said he, you know, wasn't an opportunity he was truly pursuing. It's just he kind of thought it might come when Thomas went down with the broken arm. Now this week the Patriots called. He accepted. Similar situation with Seau. He was only coming back here, wasn't pursuing another chance. And, in fact, if you look at it matter-of-factly, the quest for the ring that he was on last year, that's not really the carrot that you have this year because this team's fighting to get into the postseason, never mind to be considered a Super Bowl contender or favorite. So,
right.
You know, he talked a little bit about the relationship he has with Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft, even dating back to when they, you know, Mr. Kraft gave him his ring in San Diego earlier this season. He said he'd pretty much only come back for the Patriots. They came calling. He accepted. He's always in great shape. We know that in terms of being a human being. But there is a difference between being in shape as a human being and just in general life and stepping in on an NFL football field 3 days after signing. So it'll be interesting to see. And I think there's a chance we see a wide variety of defenses over the next couple weeks as they try to come up with the best combinations to use all these guys. Ty Warren's obviously missed two of the last three. Reports are that he's sort of week to week, day to day here. It's not an IR thing. But if he can't go, you have questions along the defensive line. Jarvis Green has underperformed. Mike Wright struggled a little bit back last week in a reserve role. So you think potentially we could see some different combinations of three and four man fronts and different combinations of linebackers, right?
I mean, I would think, you know, just given the amount of injuries that have hit those areas, it would make sense to me to maybe do some different stuff. Now, the lack of depth up front I think, kind of hurt you a little bit, because I think if you wanted to go with a true 4-3, you would do some combination of Seymour and Wilfork inside, maybe with Warren and Green outside. Now, I don't think Warren is ready for a full load in terms of 60 snaps in a game. Based on some of the reports we read today from a, quoting a team source, is saying he'd be a 50-50 proposition probably for the rest of the way. That, to me, wasn't overly encouraging on Ty's situation. So I do think that maybe you might see Mike Vrabel a little bit, you know, in a hybrid kind of role. He you know, he obviously can play defensive end. He's played on the line for the Patriots in certain packages. I think they're going to have to get creative, Andy, because I'm not sure that they have enough manpower to get by doing it in a regular 3-4 base that they've been trying to do. And I think the war of attrition, I think, is taking its toll.
And it's also even worse when you combine it with the secondary that struggled all year. So you basically have front to back a defense that you don't really know, A, what you're going to get in terms of performance, but B, what you even really have available down to down, game to game, to throw out there. So, yeah, Dean Pease, Bill Belichick, if you want to throw Dom Capers in there, Matt Patricia, those guys, Pepper Johnson, they are going to earn their paychecks in the coming weeks, coming up with the best personnel groupings to utilize all these players. Before we get out of here, I want to, and we are literally getting out of here later today, heading out west with the team to Seattle. But before we get out of here, I want to just touch on some of the other injuries. Wes Welker has not really been on the practice participation report. We won't get the true injury report, quote-unquote, until later today. But what are your thoughts on the hellacious hit he took last week and how that may impact his availability for the next month?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the fact that he was able to take part in whatever they were able to do on Wednesday and Thursday practice-wise is certainly a good sign. And he talked about it at length in the locker room, I think, on Wednesday. You know, look, it was a heavy hit, no doubt. I somewhat disagree with the fact that it wasn't a fine. I thought the hit was late. I didn't think it was an overly vicious hit in terms of intent. I didn't think it was a helmet-to-helmet hit. I didn't think that he was in necessarily I hate the word defenseless on a football field. I think, you know, unless a guy's, like, taking his helmet off and not really anticipating getting hit, I think you're fair game. But I thought the hit was late and unnecessary. I thought it deserved the 15-yard penalty that it got, and I thought that, you know, in turn, it should have been a fine, much like David Thomas's situation in Indianapolis several weeks ago. The NFL obviously thought differently. I do agree with the NFL's explanation in terms of launching yourself. I think a defensive player is going to leave his feet on any tackle, and I don't think that's certainly anything that's outside of the rules. I don't know how you feel about it.
I agree with you. I mean, I thought it was going to get a fine, but he got the penalty. A lot of times I think those fines come because the guy wasn't penalized, and it's the league trying to send a message that in some way the hit was illegal and in trying to keep players in control in that way. And I think maybe they looked at it as he got the 15-yard penalty. It was called on the field for the infraction, and that's enough. We can move on. It was a football play. It wasn't outside the bounds of the football field or anything like that. So I think they took it that way. In terms of Wes Welker, my concern would be he mentioned early in the week that, you know, he's going to prepare to play as he does every week, but it's up to the doctors and the coaches to decide whether he's ready to go or not. And the one factor I would think might play a little bit in that is he took a big hit the week before in Miami that knocked him to the sideline for a play. And I just wonder, having those two back-to-back weeks, and obviously the second one knocking him out of the game for the rest of the game against the Steelers, I do think there is going to be a decision to be made. I don't know either way which way it's going to go. My gut actually tells me he may not play. I know you feel kind of the opposite, that he probably will play.
I do.
But
I do think
there's going to be a decision there because doctors are involved. He admitted that early in the week. So he could be a game-time decision. You know, I'm sure he'll make the trip out west since they are staying out west, and it would make no sense for him to stay back if there's a chance he could play the following week. All the players are going to be out there unless they're really injured. So I think that's interesting to keep an eye on. I think it's interesting to keep an eye on Teddy Bruschi. He continues to pop up a little bit on the injury report here and play, but we'll see if that knee injury becomes worse as the season goes on. If it wears down, that would be another blow at a position where they can ill afford to heal it.
Absolutely.
But bottom line is, Roosevelt Colvin's back. Junior Seau's back.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.